Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends. Thanks for tuning in tonight. It's Monday night. That's Raising Expectations time, and we've got a really good discussion coming for you tonight with two of our favorite people, part of our family, and Dr. Marianne and Will Cintron. They'll be with us in just a moment here. We're excited to be with you tonight. There's a lot happening in the nation. My goodness, I looked at the news today and thought, ooh, this is really something. I'm sure glad I know the Lord. We all love the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all people of faith. We know he works. We have legitimate faith because we tried it and tested it, and he's proved it and blessed us by it each time. So we hope you'll be encouraged tonight, and in the discussion we'll actually help you to move forward with your walk with the Lord and actually standing up for your children and your family in a world in which that's becoming more and more difficult once you're outside the walls of your church or your neighborhood Bible study or those friends who love the Lord like you. There's a world out there that needs to have him, and that's what we're here for, to share bit by bit. So you all know the routine. Tonight we have a couple of people missing because they're doing exactly that, standing up for their family, spending time with their precious family and friends that are visiting them from Oregon, I think. So Dr. Paul Hall, as you know, he's not with us tonight, but he'll be back next week. He's with his family there in Lompoc, California. And I know he's going to entertain them by setting off a rocket at the rocket station. That'll be a fun time. They'll have watching that. Should be really exciting. So if we go all the way back across, let's stop at Texas on the way back this time, because actually Ron and Rosalind Greer are celebrating their anniversary, 45 years of marriage. And that's pretty cool, isn't it? That's really exciting. So we're excited for them, and they're having a wonderful time. And so we'll miss them tonight, but we bless them and thank God for them, for the wonderful testimony they have together and how he blesses us. So now, and I can say it tonight, now if we go to the East Coast, we'll find way on the South Carolina side of that, we will find two of our favorite people in the world that you know so well. That's Stephanie Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer. Stephanie, as you know, is the founder and CEO of Quenching Well. She's a health and wellness coach. She's also a tremendous Christian wife, mother, leader, and teacher and encourager. And so she is, she's fantastic. She will help you to find out everything about what you need to do, how to eat, what to eat, and everything else, and still get fudge at Christmas. So we really appreciate it. And thanks for the teasing little email the other day there, Tank. That was really good.
No problem.
Did your wife what you did? Yeah.
He was sending him fudge pictures.
Fudge pictures,
yes. A whole glass counter of fudges.
I've already framed it. It's hanging on the wall.
Really good.
So, yeah. So in any event, her husband is a great guy, Dr. Craig Tank Thayer. He's a trauma surgeon. He's an author. His new book, Saved, is all about how God works in the ordinary things of life in extraordinary ways. And he'll do the same thing in your life. Make sure you get a copy of his book. His book is right there on our website. My book's on there, too. They're right together on faith and what that means legitimate in your life. So you'll also find out that he's a great dad, too. We appreciated Father's Day yesterday. It was really neat. I've had the joy of talking to my kids a bunch the last couple of days. I married them, and they carted them off to other states, so that was really interesting. But in any event, it's fun to hear back from them, you know. I still get to see them. It's really great to get the notes and things from them. So, you know, especially my son. You know, I had my birthday a week and a half ago, and I thank all of this wonderful team for the wonderful gift and card they sent me. But my son calls up. He's really fun. He calls up. He teaches college up in Washington. He goes, hey, Pop, he says, this is so exciting. It's your birthday. And I said, well, thanks, son. And he goes, wow. He goes, how does it feel to be 3/4 of a century old? And I said, all of a sudden, it feels a lot older than it did about 5 minutes ago. He's so funny. We have more fun with him. But there's nothing as important next to your walk with Christ as your family. That's your wife, your kids, your children, your grandkids, what you do, and how you lead them to Christ. We're going to talk about that tonight. So let's move right ahead. We want to welcome in. They're right there on the program waiting for us to the Cintrons, Marianne and Will Cintron. And let's give them, we'll have to do it twice as loud, guys. There's just three of us tonight, but we're all family, you know. So the round of applause, but bring them on to Raising Expectations. We're your family and you're part of our team. So welcome tonight. There they are right there. Excellent.
Pleasure to be here.
Hi. Thanks for the applause.
Oh, that's it. Thanks, Will. That's really good. One of these days, we'll get the 20th Century Fox thing back. It'll really be impressive. But, you know. So Marianne, as you know, is one of the, I believe, cutting edge experts on dyslexia, because she's a cutting edge expert on what it means to walk with the Lord, to love her husband, to love her family, and to be a godly woman that she is to all the people she reaches out to. She has people that read her materials, what God lays in her heart, to help with dyslexia in their homes all across the nation. But tied to that is the fact that she loves the Lord, and she and her husband together, there's been some exciting things happening. Will, her husband, is a great man discipling, a lot like Ron does, helps to disciple and grow men to help encourage them through difficult times. And the two of them together are a husband and wife team, and some of the groups that meet this way also. We're going to have their friend with us with them at the end of July. You'll see what we mean with the Freedom Call. But it's going to be a great night. But God's been doing something special in their life. So, you know, Steph, you probably talked to her too, and Tank. I'm just going to step back, let them share about this, and then we're just going to come in with you, let us know where you are. I'm excited. When you said what God's doing in your heart, we can't wait to hear. Would you share this?
Okay, well, there's actually three areas that I'd like to share about. One of them will be some scriptures about families, but the Lord has laid it on our hearts to reach the dyslexic children across the nation. And we have a number. We have 300,000 is the number we're going to reach out to. And those are going to be kids that are in the Montessori schools and kids that are in the public schools, so we can train teachers to work with the kids who have dyslexia. So how are we going to reach 300,000 kids? I don't know, but he knows. He has a plan. He has a strategy. So one of the things that are real important. I was listening to a man named Lance Wallnau. Many of you maybe have heard of him, but he talks about seven mountains of revelation. There's a man named Lauren Cunningham who started YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And he said one of the biggest, so we know we have an enemy. One of the areas that the enemy wants to battle us in is over the family. One of them is over finances. Another one is over religion, over academia, over politics, over entertainment, and over the news. And then he had, he presented something else from Bill Bright, who's no longer with us. He's with the Lord now. But Bill Bright started Campus Crusade for Christ. And he had seven mountains revealed to him. And they were, the enemy wants to stop the church. He wants to interfere with education, interfere with government, interfere with the arts, interfere with the family, interfere with media, and interfere with business. So the overlapping passions that Will and I have are, of course, education or academia and the family. And so we're going to show some short clips about the family a little bit later, but I just wanted to add that Lance Wallnau adds to this. What he sees as molders of the culture are the enemy over government, the FBI, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Netflix, coming against Christianity, family values. So these are strongholds that when we have a praying audience and when we want to pray, we want to bring down these strongholds. So you can rewind this video and write them down as I did. And remember that we want to come against strongholds that are preventing the family from growing or from academia being successful. So two of the videos we're going to show, we're just going to show 3 minutes of each of them. One of them is what's going on in the news today. So there's an assembly bill. It's called 665. Very close to 666, right? So 665 was passed. And this is to take children 12 years old and above away from their families without family consent. They're calling it the kidnapping bill. And you'd think it's because families are abusing their kids. They're not feeding them. They're not taking care of them. So the government, Big Brother, can step in and take care of these kids, right? That's what you would think. But it's really an overreach. And it's part of their agenda to say, if kids want to do something that their parents don't agree with, maybe a boy wants to identify as a girl or a girl wants to identify as a male, but the parents aren't recognizing that, this child can be removed from the family without parental consent and put in foster care. So that's real far government overreach. And so people need to call their local senates now and say that they are not in favor. They need to vote against AB 665.
That's here in California.
But as California goes, so does the nation go. So even nationally, do you know you can call California? You can call California Senates and say you don't want it. So
there you go.
Yeah, people don't know that. And even from community district to district in California, we identify what district we're in, but we can still call another district and say, we're going to follow what you're voting. And we're going to encourage people not to vote for you if you continue to vote this way. So that's what gets the politicians voting to really be the voice of the people.
Grassroots.
So these two clips, you need to go into the chat and you can see how to find them and listen to the whole 6 or 7 minutes. They're really good. But we're just going to show you three.
Brad, thank you for joining me here today to discuss AB 665, which was recently passed. Now, could you start with a brief overview of what's your thoughts on this bill?
Yeah, this is a horrific bill when it comes to parental rights and undermining the rights of parents. What it says is it's going to change the law to allow counselors, mental health counselors, possibly like a school counselor, for example, to take a child and put the child over the age of 12, has to be over the age of 12, 12 or over, and put that child into a mental health residential facility without parental consent. Now, right now, under the law, in order for this to be done, there has to be reports of incest or an immediate threat to the child's health or safety, that they're likely going to try to commit suicide or harm themselves physically or mentally. That right now, that's what has to be shown and before a child can be taken and put into a mental health facility without parental consent. This obliterates those qualifiers and gives tremendous latitude for a mental health counselor to be able to take a child away from the parents, put them in this residential mental hospital for youth, and the parents have no say in the matter. Due process is out the window.
Could you talk about how this would impact communities and families in California?
Yeah, basically what this does is it puts a cloud of fear over moms and dads up and down the state of California, just knowing that at any time they could lose their child. And specifically, this legislation is targeting those children who might have same-sex sexual attraction issues or confusion or gender identity confusion. This is what it's really targeting, so that a counselor can simply take the child away from the family on the grounds that the parents have maybe traditional religious beliefs and convictions, and therefore are an inherent danger or concern for the, you know, the child, even though they're not having to prove anything or show any evidence. You know, presently, under California law, in order for a child to be taken from a home, then by a social worker, yeah, there has to be a showing of a reasonable suspicion of abuse or neglect against the child by the parents. This throws that out. No longer. If you can show that that child is potentially affirmed in terms of their sexuality or gender identity confusion, you can lose your child.
Wow. Wow. How about that?
Terrible.
No, it's crazy.
That is, wow.
That was pji.org, if people want to hear the rest of that message.
So the other sad part about California, well, let me
only
go.
One?
Let me go.
Only yeah. One.
is physicians in California, probably 6 months, maybe longer ago, California mm-hmm. passed a bill that would not allow me as a licensed physician in California to speak against Fauci or any other public view that's considered to be governmentally driven.
Mm.
I would lose my license.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, and then add to that, I mean, the American Academy of Pediatrics knows the data that's coming out of Finland and like Norway and the UK that shows that these kids are confused. They're at an age that they're mm-hmm. confused. Remember the girls at that high school that all wanted to get pregnant because it was the thing to do. So that's a lot of what this is. Because with the kids that have had actual sex changes physically, surgically, their suicide rate is higher than the ones that didn't.
Much higher.
You haven't stopped the problem. It's a mental problem. It's mm-hmm. a behavioral problem that they work out over time. And they need a nuclear family to help do that and not be extracted mm-hmm. to a complete stranger's home or who knows what environment, because they haven't done it yet. But it's crazy.
Yeah, they call it a mental health facility, a residential home. That's what you think about when the convicts get out of prison.
Right. That's not going to be loving and supportive and, you know, a place to learn and grow.
Well, and I played this game with a patient of mine. So he was in, he's phenotypically a male becoming a female. And so he was halfway through. What room do you put him in? Hospital? Where are you going to house these kids? I mean, we've already heard about some of the phenotypic males that consider themselves females in California in the girls' locker room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Naked. I mean, hey, how many guys just want to say that they are female? So,
I know.
You know, it's talked about. Yeah. It's, and unfortunately, here's the Academy of Pediatrics. The real worker bees didn't get a say so in this. So they have a stance that they should still be doing, you know, sex blocking drugs and transitional surgeries. Because the professors who run the society met late at night without real workers that know the real trenches.
That's academia.
So, and they, because they're professors and they're hubris, they can't admit that they've made a wrong stance in the past. So they've withheld it. I mean, they kept it up. So, because they can't admit they're wrong.
So for those of you that don't know, we both, we're born and raised in California, and we moved from California 2 years ago. And there were a couple of things that I would always go down to the Capitol for. They were the only things I've ever gone for. One was vaccination rights of parents. The state is constantly trying to take that away. And mm-hmm. to be fully transparent, we are fully vaccinated, and so are our kids. To me, mm-hmm. it's not the issue. It's taking away parental decision of understanding what's best for my child. And then mm-hmm. the second one was homeschooling. And that was always being threatened as well, and limiting charter schools. And ironically, these policymakers all had their children in either charter schools or private schools. None of them were in the traditional public school. And I remember telling you before we did decide to move that if they took homeschooling, that would be a deal breaker. And we were homeschooling because of all of the crazy that was happening within the school system. And, you know, we have a son that's 24. His experience was very different than our son that is 17. Just in that gap, the school system had changed so much. It went from very wholesome to this stress, you know, and I have good friends that have kids that are elementary, junior high, and high school, all in California, in what would be very conservative areas. There are all these issues over the bathrooms, and even the schools aren't doing what they're supposed to, which is allowing single stall bathrooms, you know, like an individual one rather than the communal one, because they have to then staff it and they don't want to. And so the parents are having to fight. These are the laws. We know what it is. You have to be able to provide a restroom. It doesn't have to be that. And so as parents, you're having to do now all of these extra things just to make sure your kids are okay. And these kids are coming home really, really stressed. Yes. Good kids, because there's so much pressure and push around this topic, right? And if you look, other countries are not having this issue or this debate. It's a cultural, it's like you were saying when everybody was getting pregnant in this one high school, it became the thing. And I pulled up an article. There is a gal who is 18 and she's suing Kaiser Permanente, which is a very large health system. It's very big in California. At 16, she had transitional surgery and now she's 18 and she's detransitioning and she really regrets that. I mean, I was a complete tomboy. I never wanted to be a boy, but I will tell you it was very awkward as my body started changing and I didn't like it. And I kind of protested it a little bit and I talked with my mom and it's, you know, it's a hard time. I can't imagine what it would have been like if these were the things that I was told all the time, because I clearly outgrew that and I was fine with who I became. Right. But it's, it's hard for all of us. And so it's heartbreaking, because what I say is our children are not experiments. Stop it.
Amen. That's right.
You know, I was part of the committee to look at the science curriculum. And we had teachers, or we had parents looking at the elementary science curriculum. Some looked at the middle school, and then myself and two others looked at the high school curriculum. That high school curriculum looked like my daughter's nurse's manual when it talked about anatomy, and it was almost like AI. I mean, these kids are learning so much about sexuality. We were kind of looking for critical race theory, or were they promoting, you know, promoting something that we didn't want to promote? But what we, and they weren't doing that, but what we did see was how explicitly clear sexuality is called out to the kids. And maybe that's why they're all experimenting and wanting to try what they're reading in the science book. What we objected to were, there was some about 8 different links that were embedded. So we were speaking up saying, let's deactivate those links until they can get viewed, because we don't know what those links are going to show. And then the side of me that's very pro-life wants to say, when kids are learning all about sexuality, why don't we bring in some people who can share about abstinence till marriage? Or what about what's going to happen with an unplanned pregnancy? Abortion's not your option. So let's talk about, are you going to adopt? I mean, let's talk about what happens with an unplanned pregnancy. See, they're not giving the kids the full picture. They're telling them about, oh, orgasms and this and that, and this is how it all works, but they're not giving the full picture. And I don't think parents are sitting there in their living rooms talking to the kids either, right?
No. And that or what about the consequences of an abortion? You know, it's one of the reasons Planned Parenthood doesn't show you an ultrasound. The emotional toll that that then takes, and the long-term consequences of it, it's not like a little, you know, interaction that you have. You know, it has significant implications. And so our kids are not being prepared for how to handle these emotional things, because if someone says something you disagree with, you need to be totally offended and cancel them for everything. So instead of learning how to have dialogue, how to have debate, disagree respectfully. We don't, right? It has to be one-sided. And I don't know what your other video is that you have, Marianne, but I don't know if you've seen some of the students in classes are revolting. Like there was one on a super inappropriate sexual. I didn't watch it because I don't want to hear about it. Mm-hmm. And the high school kids started standing up and saying, this is wrong. You need to turn this off. We don't want to, like, so they're saying enough. Like why are we being taught this in school? Mm.
Education used to be built on two legs, and it worked all through history. And those two legs are just about missing. And you both illuminated them so well. When I was a high school principal, I had students from three continents, and they would say the same thing. And the thing was this: Christian morality. I don't care about what denomination, but that's what made us different from the Far East in so many ways, because every person was unique, created in the image of God, and special. If God created you, he had a plan for you. My sister was a tomboy. I mean, there were some gals that they used to whoop us in basketball. We needed tank. But anyway, back in those days, yeah. So that's all part of it. So moral Christian family education. So many, I'm going to move on to give this back a second here, but the morals in a Christian home where it takes a father and it takes a mother, it takes the two under God to grow that family together. Yeah. And I told you about all the times I spent in the hot tub, but it was worth it to go through those. Even if my kids didn't, I still get the calls, and it's so great. But the other part of that was the total blowing up of classical education, which you still get some in homeschooling, which is rhetoric, which is history, which is English, which is math. Which are the things, the pillars upon which everything else can sprout. So they've turned the garden upside down. So all the sprouts are on the bottom being crushed by the lack of knowledge in all the classical parts of education, which led Tank into medicine. All those things come together through classical knowledge. We don't have either one. The rest of the world does. China does, I guarantee you. The rest of the world's going on with classical education right now. They're learning all those things in the hours they put in. And even charter schools now, and even Christian schools, some of them, they got to start picking up some time, because they're not getting the job done the way they need to. So it all goes back to those two things holding it, which you said. But Marianna, go right in.
I like how you said that your kids still call you on the phone, Joe. Someone at church this week mentioned to me that they were telling their young son that they always want to be the parent. They don't want to be the friend. Yeah. And Will and I had a discussion about that, because as the kids get older, you do more listening, less speaking into their lives unless they ask. And you really do establish that a friendship, because they're adults now. Yeah. Could you add to that, or either one of you guys?
I think it's really important. I'm going to you go ahead, Tank. Go ahead, brother.
No, I mean, My sister, I won't talk about her, but my oldest daughter has a horrible boy picker. I mean, she wants to fix these people. But I have to keep my mouth closed, because until she asks me, then I can be the consultant and teach and speak and simple. Do you really want this man to be the male influence in your child's life? Mm-hmm. And she's since broken up with that person. So it took a while bouncing back and forth. But it's, you know, human love and emotion it's a tough thing, you know. And I loved college, because I remember the 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, sitting around with 12 people, male, female, gay, whatever. It didn't matter. We were just people. And we talked about all sorts of different nuclear war, abortion, whatever issue was in public right then and there, openly and without judgment, and just heard people's ideas and concepts and in a loving way, and then present your ideas.
You know, that talking to your daughter like that, I think that's true too, Marianne. When you, like I said, when my son graduated, threw his hat in the air, came up to me after, said, "Pop, you sure learned a lot in the last 3 years." But let that sink for a minute, you know, because that's just when you're really talking to. But it's really, it's kind of that thing, that old saying, like you just reminded me, Tank, the difference between wisdom and knowledge. And we have the Holy Spirit to give guidance in that from within. But knowledge is information that we understand. Wisdom is knowing not just the knowledge, but when and if to share it, when and if to speak, because maybe that knowledge will be more appropriate and more powerful and more beneficial in another shot later, rather than, and people who are just giving them, they're just trying to impress, and they lose their kids that way. They need to do what you said, Tank. They need to just say, hey, you're a good dad, you know, and Will, you too, the same way. I agree with that. Anyway, excuse me.
Go right on. It's more important for a surgeon to know when not to operate than to operate.
I have a theory about this bill, or kind of what the direction that this is going in. If you look at the people that are having children, it tends to be more conservative, family value, faith-based. Even you've seen some of these Armenian and Muslim and Hispanic communities rising up in protest over what's happening at the schools. It's not just Christian. Yes. And so that's the majority having children right now. And so that, in a long game, is not good for this agenda. Really? So if you can be taking away the rights that a parent has, and you can be teaching very, very young, not math and English, but whatever it is that you want to teach, that's now right. You have a lane with this next generation, right? Mm-hmm. And it's horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying.
Yeah, we have to, you know, try to get the Christian beliefs and upbringing instilled in the kids.
Yes.
To the point where they are strong Christians, and, you know, for their age and going through school and high school, whatever. And because, yeah, as they get older, I mean, if we have more kids that are instilled in their beliefs, you know, and they're strong, then issues like that, you know, it's going to work against the opposition. You know,
kids belong to us. And that's our responsibility.
Amen. More Christian coming up, and, you know, having children and you know, it rolls. So I heard something about that. They were saying a lot of the left liberals they're not having kids.
No, they're not getting married, and they're.
Sure, yeah, we have to fight against what's happening in the public schools, because, you know, like you said, they're teaching everything that they're teaching the social, criterias, and they're not teaching the kids how to have an education, how to have to work towards either going to college, or getting learning a trade. You know, when I was in New York, I started high school in New York. My first year of high school, I went to a school called Bronx Vocational, and it was a vocational high school. Auto mechanics. There was construction, or house, construction. I think they had plumbing and electrician. So when you got out of high school, you had a vocational that you can go to. And there's a high school in New York called High School of Aviation. Mm-hmm. It was Commerce High School. Mm-hmm. It was a friend of mine, had a friend in New York. He was going to the Maritime High School.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that prepared you for, you know, work, a job right out of high school. Well, if you wanted to continue on to go to college, that was an option, but to these days, a lot of kids are saying, "Oh, you got to go to college. You got to go to college." Well, a lot of kids, that's not for them. You know,
somebody's got to know how to do all that, right? Somebody's got to know how to do all those things, like airplane engines. I want to be in a plane that they knew what they were doing. I'm with you. That's right.
I heard a really great illustration from a teacher that the boys go to the VGO school with. She brought a chair in front of all the parents, and she says, "This is a chair. It's got four legs. It's got a seat in the back. And you sit in it and you feel solid. That's God." Yeah. Now, You need to teach your kids. You need to sit in that seat sometime when you're in a trial and show them that you depend on that chair, that steadiness, mm-hmm. the strongness mm-hmm. of the chair that's not going to break under your weight, yeah. and that you get through it with God's support. And then you need to put them in that chair to see when they go through a trial that they can do the same thing. Because when they go to college and their friends are saying, don't sit in that chair, don't, it's not safe, it's not safe, they'll know better.
Amen. Yeah, that's right. I think you were that way, both of you couples with your kids and everything. I know myself, it's our, like Will was saying, it's our responsibility. And I've been a little slow to heat up inside on this issue. And I keep thinking, well, you know, this and that and the other. And then we got into politics, and those are all important. But I'm afraid a little bit in my own heart that the politics kind of got in the way, because the politics are not going to change. Like Ryan, the former Speaker of the House, got up and said this last weekend, well, it doesn't matter about the budget. We need to stop. It doesn't matter about this, that, and the other. I forgot what that one was. It just matters about the budget. That's all. It's not the character of the nation we should be worried about. Hello, if we don't have the character of a nation change, the budget's not going to be anything, because there won't be one. And, yeah. These are the things. Go ahead, Steph.
Well, I used to use the analogy of, if our daughter came to us when she was 12 or 13 and said, I want breast implants because I'm not comfortable, I'm not developed. We would, of course, say, hey, wait till you grow up. If this is something that you're really insecure about when you're done with puberty, but we can have a serious conversation about it, right? Yes. We would deter. Mm-hmm. Now that seems so silly because they're doing it so young, but you could use an example of so this potential law is for someone 12, right? Where the parent no longer has the right to say no. Okay. Mm-hmm. I want a tattoo. I want a big old tiger right here, and it's going to be massive. No, you can't do that. Well, why not? I get to make my own decisions, right? And well, then why can't they have their own gun? Because clearly a 12-year-old can make their own decisions about all of these things. I mean, if you use the same argument for a issue that is a trigger issue for a lot of people right now around LGBTQ, I'm not even talking about that issue. I'm talking about, does the parent know what's best for their child at that age? And is there a reason that you have parental rights until that child is 18, unless you show abuse or neglect or whatever? Of course, right? We do need to protect children. But so when you think of it like that, you would say, of course. Well, would we let a 12-year-old vote? No. Do we let a 12-year-old own their own property? No. Mm-hmm. Right? There's reasons for this. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, if you've had teenagers, they lose their minds. Like, they turn into toddlers before they go out of the puberty situation, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, the video that they showed of the news, it showed the family frolicking together, right? And the kids were young. They weren't 12, but it just shows how the family is being nurtured as a unit. Yes. And then when these kids grow up, if they're taken away, they're losing that love and support that they were raised with in that unit. And this might be a good segue for the next video.
Sure.
So people can understand the seriousness of that.
Good point. Yeah. Thanks. Okay, Marianne, you call it. Let's do it.
Okay. So this is a parent speaking, because her daughter had some mental health issues and wanted to be identified as a different gender. And the parents didn't go along with that. So they took her daughter away. And I'll be a spoiler alert here. The daughter committed suicide 3 years later, jumping in front of a train. So take a listen to this woman sharing with others what's going to happen to their kids if we don't all step up and speak up.
It has been 3 years and 164 days since I lost my daughter, Jaylee. Isn't a day that goes by that I don't miss her? Let me tell you how she died. She was murdered by gender ideology. She was taken from me by her Arcadia High School counselor, the Children's Hospital of LA, Department of Children's and Family Service of California, court, the LGBT Rights Task Force, and she in the state of California. My daughter and I were prayed upon because English is my second language. And it's more. All of these groups place my daughter gender confusion, her gender identity, above her mental health. All of these groups made me be a villain because I want my 16-year-old to get the mental health that she needs. Instead of poisoning her body with testosterone, all of this group who should have helped Jaylee instead remove her from her loving home, her loving family. They are all responsible for her death. I am not ready to forgive them. I cannot forgive them because they are continuing to harm children and young adults. California is about to pass more laws that will make sure that there are more Yalees. The state of California is requiring parents to either transition their children or lose custody of them. I cry for the parent who will be like me, helpless to help their children.
And it continues, and it shares that at age 19, Jaylen jumped in front of a truck, in front of a train, because she was just confused and depressed, and the testosterone made her depressed.
You know, they talk about, the parents being abusive towards the children if the children are with dysphoria. It's the opposite. The parents want to do all they can to help their child. And here's the state stepping in. And to me, they're abusing these children, and having them transition and get surgeries that, years down from now, what is it going to be like? A lot of these, young men and women that were confused then, and they can't change it around. They can't go back.
That's a classic example of a Band-Aid, putting a Band-Aid on cancer, right? I mean, you should have got mental help, not to turn the other way. She needed mental help, right, Steph?
I mean, yeah, sorry. As I listen to it, I'm thinking, what planet are we on? Right. I mean, you hear it and you're heartbroken as a parent, right? Mm-hmm. There are things our children do that we will not agree with as children, as adults. We still love them. And generally speaking, we're their biggest advocates, right? But she said something, which you were getting to, Joe. Mental health needs to be first, not gender ideology. And I think that's really, really the heart of this issue. And I think it's the heart of the issue with a lot of things that we see in society. You know, there's all these people are wanting gun control. We see shootings and stabbings, and all these things come down to mental health. Us not making it easily accessible, not making it something that's mainstream. You know, there are mental health things, and putting a Band-Aid or doing something else other than what is actually needed is not going to solve it.
Right. You mentioned the seven mountains, right? Mm-hmm. And then the other seven mountains.
Yeah.
This just, it's so obvious that this is a spiritual war.
That's right.
I mean, Leviathan's main text is confused language, right? It's called Babel, right. Babylonia. So when we can't understand each other anymore, that's close to end times. I mean, think like, okay, so you see Bud Light, they do something. In business 1A, you don't offend your demographics. I mean, this is how stupid we are. I mean, they've got to be like under some possessed demon to even think. So then Target goes, oh, I think it's great. Let's just go put vibrators out front right next to the kids' KY jelly for their butts.
And that was actually Walmart, to be fair. Walmart.
Sorry, Target did the, you know, the
bathing suit,
the bathing, suits,
bathing
yeah.
suit, yeah, package control thing. So, I mean, how stupid are they? What do you think is going to happen? And thank God, people are no longer tolerating this, because tolerance is a sin.
Amen.
We need, right. like you said already, Will, we need to not tolerate this. We need
to. Disney, I think they released a animated movie. This weekend,
this week.
Yes, and it's another one of the one that was cute that had all the little emotions like in your head, but it was a follow up, and you're seeing that pretty much across the board when things are being done that has a main character that is like that, and you know, I know this isn't the topic, but if we're going to be so passionate about something, you know, less than 2% of all people are in the wanting to transition, right? I mean, they lump LGBTQ plus all together, but okay, let's talk about dyslexia. 1 in 5 probably have it. So if we're actually going to be passionate about certain topics or they're oppressed or whatever, I don't know. There's a lot of other categories that we could choose that are going to help a whole lot of people that are just completely ignored.
There's an agenda.
Yes.
Yeah, and let's use like sound evidence.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
sound evidence that, you know, this doesn't work.
The other thing that I think is under big attack right now is our freedom of speech, right? And this kind of, they go somewhat similar together. And this all comes back to that we do need to use our voice. We can be respectful and we can disagree. And like you said, you can call the different people in California. Mm-hmm. We can overwhelm those offices with why this should not be done. That does make a difference. Every single individual call can be impactful, right? Email, all of it.
That's right. Everyone, this verse we hear a lot, but you know, if you look at it, it reminds you of what you both just said. We all know it in Ephesians 6:12. We know this verse, but if you look at it really close in the ESV especially, it says, for we do not, what, wrestle against flesh and blood, right, but against rulers. Hello, rulers who don't even know where they are. Rulers who are mocking us around the world now, against all of these things. But against rulers, against authorities, that comes all the way to the state level, to the city, to taking away the things that you've just said away from us. Against the cosmic powers, like Craig just said, hello, people. Are you really that dumb that you don't get you're killing your own demographic, what you're doing? Against the powers, against the present darkness, that darkness is here. It's still here. Against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. We have to do what you say, and we always do it in love. But boy, it's time to speak the truth in love and to stand up as believers and let people know where we are. They will not like it. They will be angry. They will attack. They will take you out all they can. They will cancel culture you. They will do everything under the sun. But you know what? I've yet to see anybody in this world or all the history. And I love history. So I've been pretty extensive in history from ancient through today. Nobody has ever been able to cancel out the power of Almighty God and what he wants to do. Yeah. We got to do what Steph said and what you're bringing to light for us. We need to stand strong. We don't need to put lines in the sand like Obama did and just keep moving it back. We need to take stands, and we need to stand strong on those stands, and we need to do it in love, and we need to not lose it but show it.
People don't need to be apathetic. They need to pick up their phone. And there's if people want to go to Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, there's a link there of, is it Real Life?
Real life
that always will have, if you just want to click on a link, it'll help you email.
Real Impact.
But there's a link.
Real Impact.
And just email if they don't want to call. Because
people
are kind of nervous. What do I say? Well, you just say we're watching your vote. We want to be sure you don't vote in favor of that, or we're going to get you out of office.
They have a lot
of the different things happening.
Yeah, I have a friend at that point, and he's Al Staggs. We're going to get him on our show. He's a comedian, but Nobody knows that on the phone. He called up. He said, I just call him up. And they say, yeah, well, who are you? And he says, this is God. You haven't heard from me lately. And he's got a sweet voice. And I say,
well, and sometimes the people answering the phones don't even know what the bill is. So yeah. Please don't be intimidated. All they're doing is tallying votes. Because I actually called once. I wanted to ask a question about what our governor did for dyslexia. The person answering the phone didn't even know anything about it. They're just. Yeah. She said, I'm just here to answer phones.
No, they don't know. We've run out of time. What a great show. We've run out of time. Folks, you know how to, we sure could use your gifts. If you can give, go to our website. It's right there, like Stephanie tells you each week. And we're going to have to leave you now. We just want to thank the Cintrons for tonight. And thank you for sharing with us what God laid on your heart. And, you know, Steph, Tank, thanks so much for who you are and what you do and how you share. It means the world. And it's just a blessing to be here. We'll be back next week, same time, same station. And we will be speaking with the head of the Republican Women of the state of California. And she's right with you on this, Marianne. She's right there with us. She'll have a lot of interesting things to say. So God bless you and keep you. TJ, you're probably there. We'll let you go. We're signing off right on time in 14 seconds. So we're on it. So God bless and keep you. Thanks for being here with us. All right. Thanks, Marianne. Thanks a lot,
Thank
Will.
You.
God bless you guys. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Bless you.
See you next week. Love you all. Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.